go. Let's go. Amen. Come on. Take your Bibles, John chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. John chapter 21. I want to talk to you. All right. Amen. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Listen. Listen up. Listen up. Where's my Old Testament crew? 9 o'clock class. All right. Man, we had fun this year. We had a good time, didn't we? Yeah. Amen. I love you too. Amen. All right. I want to talk to you about one word this morning, okay? I want to help you. Aaron Cox, where are you? Aaron, are you here today? Where's Aaron? Stand up, Aaron. I got permission from Aaron to talk on this little bit about his brother. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. He's in my John class. But his brother passed away a number of weeks ago. He was in Guantanamo Bay in the Army, and he went swimming and snorkeling with some other Army men, and he lost his life. The tide took him out, and then an ebb tide took him down, and he lost his life. The pastor asked my wife and I if we'd go represent the college and go to Des Moines, Iowa, and to the funeral. And I don't think I've ever been more moved at a funeral than this funeral here. This young man, Matt Cox, was 20 years of age, Army boy. But the story behind his life is amazing. And the whole family, to be quite frank with you, is a great family. And we got there, and of course, my wife and I went up in front, and his mom and dad were there, and just the grace of how they're taking this was unbelievable. It's just amazing, losing their boy. But the testimony of some of the soldiers that came back from Guantanamo Bay that he witnessed to, and they prayed for. He never intended to come to college or go to Bible college, but he wanted to be a farmer. That's what he was. He was a farmer in Des Moines, Iowa. His grandfather was there, who he farmed with. But the testimony that this man had was touching to me. And matter of fact, it was very emotional for me to get through the service. I'd never met the man, and someday I will in heaven. But the testimony that he left behind was amazing. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was a bus worker. Left for Guantanamo Bay, and then always carried tracts with him. Pastor Wilkerson would love this guy, amen. Never always carried tracts. And when he went down there, one of the men came back, said that he always witnessed to them, always talked about Jesus. This kid's 20 years old, you know, never been to Bible college, but the rearing that he had in his home was amazing. And what an influence he had on those soldiers. At the end of the service, the pastor McCoy gave the invitation, and three got saved. And three military men got saved. Which brings me to my message this morning. And you've heard some great messages this week. I've said this, that Brother Mason, the top three preachers in America that I've listened to over the years, is probably one of the top three. I really enjoy Brother Mason. He was my boss, but I really respected him, and I thank God for what he preached. But today, on this Friday, I want to talk to you about one word, or I guess the phrase of my message is the power of influence. The power of influence. That's a powerful thing, influence. Right, Brother Douglas? And so I want to speak to you tonight, or this morning, on the time that I have allotted, but the power. Let me give you a definition of the dictionary definition of the word influence. The word influence, the power of persons or things to reproduce effects on others. Let me say it again. The power of persons or things to produce effects on others. Let me give you a statement that was at the bottom of the funeral, the eulogy program. Let me give you the quote, and I wrote it down. I loved it. And this is the quote. The quality of a man's life is measured by how deeply he has touched and influenced the lives of others. Say that again. You ought to write that one down. That's a great one. I wrote it down. I love this. The quality of a man's life is measured by how deeply He has touched and influenced the life of others. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, for the next few moments, I want to talk on this subject of how important the power of influence is in our lives, in our daily lives, and how I have been influenced over the years by some great men. And I thank God for these men that have touched my lives. But the greatest influence in my life, Brother Froki's life, has been the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God that He has given to us. The greatest influence. And Lord, clear my mind and give me great thoughts, and not my own thoughts, but Your thoughts, on what I'm about to say this morning, on the power of influence. Amen. Each success in life is accomplished through the influence and the touch of another. And many good people have touched my lives over the years. No man is self-made man. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Untouchable heroes have their place. I'm giving you some quotes that I think have meant a lot to me. Untouchable heroes have their place, but it's those people that touch us on a daily basis that most influence what we will become. Your faculty and staff on a daily basis. The women over there that have been here for a number of years that have taken their lives to try to influence you. I know my wife and I have gotten numerous little notes from different students and whatever, and say, well, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Froki, for being a role model. That just doesn't happen. Naturally, we want to influence you, Brother Douglas, Brother Lutz, Brother King. And that's our job, is to stay right with God and stay pure, that you can look at our lives and say, you know something? If we keep with it, someday I may want to teach at Hiles Anderson College. And I want a pastor. But let me tell you something, that just doesn't happen. That's a group of people that pray for you, that want to influence your life for good. The untouchable heroes have their place, but it's those people that touch us on a daily basis that must influence what we will become. Please don't miss this truth that I'm about to give you today. We think of scriptural speaking today, and I've listed some, but let's look at the influence of Daniel had. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1:8, the key to Daniel's life is Daniel purposed in his heart to do right. But look at what Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did in the country of Babylon. In the fiery furnace where King Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, man, we put three men in there and the fourth one looks like the Son of God, Jesus Christ appearing. And the influence that these three men had on King Nebuchadnezzar. The influence that Daniel had in the lion's den when Darius really liked Daniel, but he had him put him in because he signed it and put him in the bottom of the pit. And he couldn't sleep all night. And when he came in the morning, everything was okay with Daniel. But the influence. And if you look at the scriptures in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28 and Daniel chapter 6 and 26 to see how the people of Babylon, how in other words, they believe this God of Daniel, this God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Look at Stephen's life. Stephen, as he was martyred and being stoned to death, who was off to the wayside? But Saul was off to the wayside. And I believe with my whole heart, the stoning of Stephen was a tremendous influence in the salvation of the Apostle Paul. The influence of Barnabas over John Mark. On the first missionary journey, what did John Mark do? He quit. We don't know why. A lot of theologians said, well, he's a mama's baby or whatever. We don't know the reason. Okay? But I know one thing, but Barnabas didn't give up on him. Are you listening to me? Didn't give up on him. So Paul and Silas went off on their missionary journey. But Barnabas says, you know what? I see something salvageable in John Mark. Come on, John Mark, and come along with me. Isn't it amazing that the second book of the New Testament is written by who? Talk to me, who is the second book written by? John Mark wrote the second book. Now listen to me. When Paul's in prison, ready to be headed in Acts 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, he said, Demas has forsaken me for the what? The things of this world. Brother Douglas, what do you think happened to Demas? What influenced Demas to forsake the Apostle Paul? Saved man, Demas was. But what influenced Demas to forsake the Apostle Paul? What influences you as individuals and myself? What influences me to quit? Are you listening to me? So my question to you today is, what's influencing you? Who's influencing you? But listen, so here's the Apostle Paul, ready to be beheaded. He's in Rome. He said, Demas has forsaken me. Luke is with me. But he said, send John Mark because he's profitable to me. Somebody say amen. Amen. So thank God for a Barnabas that never gave up on John Mark. And where was he? He said, send John Mark to me because he's profitable. In John chapter 21, as I teach the Gospel of John, the last chapter in the Gospel of John, what happened to Peter? Peter got discouraged. And you know what he said? I quit. I go a fishing. Wait a minute. If you notice that in John chapter 21 and verse number 3, and the man says, we go with you. So Peter was an influence on these men quitting. Thank God they didn't quit. Because Jesus Christ appeared to them in John chapter 21. Are you listening to me? The power of influence? Somebody, are you listening? The power of influence is unbelievable. Am I right, Brother Douglas? You've talked about it. That one word, the power of influence. Don't take your Bibles, but go to first. Don't go there. I'm so used to in class saying, go there, whatever. But in 1 Kings chapter 11, what a sad story. Here we have Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, the wealthiest man in all the world. But at the end of his life, you know what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11? It says his wives turned him away from the Lord. Are you listening to me? The influence of all these women turned the heart of Solomon, the wisest man. How about the 12 spies that were sent out? Kadesh Barnea. How many came back with a positive report? Two. Am I right? Two. Caleb and who? Joshua. 10 came back with a negative report. There's giants in the land. We can't do it. Who did the listen? Who did the 10 men that went out? Who did they influence? Four million Jews, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because 10 men influenced all those people. And they wandered in the wilderness. I'm talking about the power of influence. Two came back with a positive report. Be careful what's influencing your life. Let me give you three major areas, young people. Three major areas in your life and my life that influence. Number one, friends. Friends. Influence of friends is powerful. I remember, Brother Douglas, when I was 20 years old and my dad got me a job working for Tasty Bread, I was a driver salesman at the age of 20. And I had to join the Teamsters Union at the age of 20, and I driver sales, calling on grocery stores. And I was the youngest kid. I was 20 years of age. I think we got married, and here I was. But you know what? These older guys had been there 20 years and 25, 30 years, and they were union guys. And man, I was pumped up and ready to go. But you know what happened? I started listening to them. You know what I'm talking about? They started, don't work so hard. When they put extra on your truck, man, you don't have to take it. Man, go to the union, whatever. And I had some negative thoughts. Till one day my dad approached me and said, Steve, what's going on? You're not happy. He says, well, Dad, but he said to me, who pays your salary? I said, well, Tasty Bread does. Oh, really? He said, I think you ought to be loyal to the bread company rather than the people that are trying to influence you to do wrong. Hello, somebody say amen. Amen. I was young and I learned my lesson, but not well enough, because in 1968, I quit the bread route, and then I went selling for, quote, John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company. I was there 18 years, but listen to me. When I got there, I was pumped up and excited again, and boy, I mean, for the first 5 years, and during those years, my wife had led my children to Christ. I was gone every night. But the bad influence started to set in because, quote, professional people like that wearing shirts and ties, you know, tried to influence me in the wrong way, okay? I'm not going to go into it, but I'll tell you one thing. I thank God in 1972, that was 68 for 72. In those years right there were rough years. Oh, I made money. Oh, man, I gave a speech at Mackinac Island in Michigan, and we got trips down to Florida and the President's Club. And, man, I was making good money. But my home life was terrible. Oh, I was a Christian. I was born again. Oh, I went to church. Yes. Well, let me tell you something. In 1972, Richard Angwin came. He used to teach here. He was our preacher, and I never heard that kind of preaching before. And he came, and boy, and he was talking standards and convictions, and man, oh man, and I thought Brother Douglas, every time he preached on Sunday night, I hit that altar. And what an influence he had in my life. And in 1972, man, I came to an altar at Temple Baptist Church in St. Paul. And I said, that's it. And I got right with God that night. And I became a better husband and a better father. And brother, when I went back to work, the guys were, hey, what happened to you, Froke? What happened to you? Why are you so different? What's changed? I thank God for a pastor that influenced my life. What about you? What about you? Be careful, friends, even today when you leave that bus today in the cold weather, and we'll be on that one of the buses, but listen, you can fool the people, you can go behind Brother Douglas's and us and do whatever you want to do, but the girlfriend that you're with or the man that you're with or whatever, if you want to go ahead and do that and go behind the rules of the, you know what? There's nobody going to stop you from doing that. We won't see it, but guess what? He does. And if you have any conviction at all, any decency, be careful, young ladies, who you date. By the way, who is influencing your boyfriend? Young man, the girl that you're dating, who's influencing her? Who's influencing her? I'm talking about three major areas, the friends that you have. Let's talk about who your friends are that influence you on each other. Then the influence of social media. The cell phones and the internet and your computers. It's unbelievable today what's happening out there. I can give you five preachers that I've rubbed shoulders with. Listen to me, I won't name them. Five preachers that I've rubbed shoulders with in 31 years of pastoring are not in the pastorate anymore, ran good-sized churches, all because of immorality, all because of internet pornography. The influence that the social media has on young people and adults today is unbelievable. Preachers out of the pastorate. The influence of the social media, cell phones, computers. I have what do we have on our upstairs? An antenna in our garage. I get about 8 stations. And I also have, what do you have, Mrs. Froke? You have an iPhone. Wait a minute, hang on now, let me tell you. I have a flip phone. The influence of social media. You laugh. Let me tell you something. Watch it. Be careful. We've lost staff members here because of that. Listen to me. No one's exempt. No one's exempt. And then finally, we see the friends. And then finally, the influence of social media and the influence of bad music. In our songbook, we got some Gaither stuff I love. The old-time Gaither, man, he's got some great music. I wouldn't listen to him today. The vocal van or whatever, I don't listen to it. The other week, we get invited sometimes down. Brother Roush invites us down to the Chicago Symphony. We were down there last Friday night with classical and the violins and all the big symphony orchestra. I enjoy that music. I like a balance in my music, but I enjoy that. Okay, I love Ron Hamilton stuff. Just good stuff. You know, you can't listen to bad music and be right with God. talk to me. You can't. I'm talking about your friends walking that middle road. Ask Bill Clinton, the man who always lived on the edge during his presidency. What is he noted for? Monica Lewinsky. Hello, Richard Nixon in Watergate. Are you listening to me? What is influencing your life today? What's the main influence in your life today? What's moving you on? The influence of social media, the influence of friends, and the influence of music. Be careful what's influencing your life. What about you? What about you? Listen to me. Brother, let's stand up, please. Give me two major people in your lifetime that have been the biggest influence. Give me two people.
Father and pastor.
Pastor Vapersen?
Pastor Vapersen, yeah.
And your father. Two major people in your life. Brother King, stand up. Give me two major people in your life that have instrumental, that have influenced you the most in your life.
I would say my dad and my wife.
Your dad and your wife. Brother Douglas, two people in your life that have influenced you.
Ray Young, Tina Douglas.
Ray Young and Tina Douglas. Wow. Why are we laughing? I don't. You didn't say your wife. Right here. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I've been married 55 years. My wife led me to Christ 55 years ago. That lady has never given up on me and prayed for me during the very difficult times. The one person that has influenced me the most is Jesus Christ in that book. But the second most influential person in my life is that lady sitting right there. Let me tell you something, guys. You that are dating and not dating, you better pick the right one. It better be God's choice. Are you listening to me? It's not all the looks and the beauty and the frills, but it's someone that really wants to love Jesus. Serve the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What's influencing you? You're from Australia. Stand up. Give me two people that has influenced your life the most.
Pastor Westbrook and my dad.
Pastor Westbrook and your dad. What's your name? Stand up, Alice. Give me two people that have influenced you the most.
My mom and my friend Kimberly.
Really? That's good. How about you, brother?
My parents and a deacon in my church, Abe.
Amen. How about you?
A member from church and my parents.
Your parents? How about you, Mr. Stallnaker? Stand up. Your mom and your dad. How about you?
My parents.
Parents. It's a powerful word, Brother Douglas. That word influence. It's a powerful word. Very quickly. Music. Dr. Merck, my pastor for number of years, and Dr. Angwin for 5 years, and Dr. Hiles for 4 years. Old Dr. Hiles. Dallas, Texas, that little house back there. Scrawny kid, had a stuttering. Used to have a stuttering problem. Grew up in poverty. Potbelly stove. But a mama, what a tremendous influence that his mother made on her. I'll never forget the message that he preached at my church one time. I can makes a great man, she said. Jackie boy, don't you ever forget it. I can makes a great man.
the prayers of that dear mama, the role models. The greatest influence in our lives or your life should be Christ, the book that God gives us. There was a man born in Oakville, Alabama, September 12, 1913. He was the son of a sharecropper. He was a sickly kid. Parents moved to Cleveland, Ohio in 1921. And in 1933, he went to high school in Cleveland, Ohio. He was good in track. Broke a lot of the records, the 100-yard dash, the 200-yard dash, and the broad jump. An amazing young black man. He broke all kinds of records. In 1935, he enrolled in Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. Back in those days, racism was at a high level. And even at Ohio State University, the blacks and the whites could not eat together. This young man ran into a man by the name of Charlie Paddock. Charlie Paddock in 1972 in Los Angeles set all types of world records in the Olympics in 1972 in Los Angeles, California. Charlie Paddock influenced the one man that I'm talking about right now, Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens in 1936 went to Berlin, Germany. When they went there in 36, he was favored, of course, to win a lot of these things, but Hitler was in charge. Hitler was in Berlin, Germany, and Adolf Hitler was in the prime of his life. Adolf Hitler hated blacks, he hated Jews, and he hated Catholics. But that day he went, and he entered the stadium. He sat up on the top row there and overlooked the stadium with his cohorts. And it was the 100-yard dash. And Jesse Owens, the gun went off. And that day, Jesse Owens broke the world record. He ran the 100-yard dash in 10.3. At that moment of time, and you can get it on YouTube, Mr. Hitler walked out of the Colosseum in disgust. Because his German boy, I can't remember his name, was favored to win that race. He broke four world records in the 1936 Olympics. He came back and they put a ticker tape parade in New York City for Jesse Owens from the 36 Olympics. He went back to Ohio State University, and even with all those honors, as he came back, he could not sit with his white cohorts at Ohio State University. But in 1990, George Bush, the President of the United States, even though he had passed, presented the Congressional Medal of Honor to Jesse Owens. If you go to Ohio State University today and go on their campus to their athletic department over at the field, you'll see a huge statue of Jesse Owens. Just a sharecropper. Just a black man in difficult times. But four world records. He still, almost for 27 years, held the broad jump record of 27 feet. For 27 years, nobody touched it. But who influenced a Jesse Owens? A man by the name of Charlie Paddock said, "Jesse, you can do it." And Jesse went on. Matter of fact, and during his later years, as before he passed away, started a lot of programs, social programs, for black and white athletes. What a man, sickly as a young boy, couldn't help his parents, became a hero. My question to you is the power of influence this morning is, what's influencing your life, or who's influencing your life? Who is it? Who is it? Brother Douglas said, Tina, his wife. My parents. You better be careful who's influencing you. You better be careful who your friends are. Huh? Right, Brother Douglas? Critical, isn't it? I learned the hard way. Till the preacher influenced me. It's not a good road to take. And I was a lot older than you were. By the way, you can even come to a Bible college and get hung up with the wrong crowd. Talk to me. My son did. Here. My daughter did. Here. Thank God she graduated. Doing well. My kids are doing well. I said, Brent, what was it? I was influenced by some borderline guys. We got them here. Borderline influence. I love you. My class knows it. I love you guys. My wife and I don't think there's anybody more than love you than my wife and I, and we care for you. But be careful of what's influencing you and who's influencing you. So critical. So critical. I want so bad to be here 3 years from now as you freshmen and sophomores and juniors, and you graduate this year and we see a new crowd come in, and the freshmen, and as they go. I don't know of a more pleasant atmosphere than to be on this campus and to be around you, walking through the halls. Hi, Brother Froehlke. Hi, Mrs. Froehlke. Hi, Brother Froehlke. You don't know what that does to us, to see clean-cut kids that love Jesus. By the way, tomorrow morning, the power of influence, you can use that tomorrow. The power of influence. Just a sharecropper. Thank you, preacher. By the way, I forgot my preacher, John Wilkerson, Pastor Wilkerson. You say, what about him? You know what he's taught me? Look at me now. Don't miss this. Do you know what my pastor has taught me? I'm 25 years older than he is. But you know what my pastor has taught me? How to love people. I've never heard one negative thing come out of his mouth about anybody. And I've been with him numerous times. He's the real deal. He influences me to want to be a better Christian. What about you? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.